Well, good morning to you. Why does it always take two times to get the good morning? I know Pastor Thomas's frustration. I'm going to say it again. Good morning to you. See, that's much better because it makes us feel like we're welcome to be here and in front of you. It's good to be with you this morning. It always feels a little different standing on this stage in this position, presenting the Word of God to you in this way. Normally, I stand up here and I sing the gospel to you. But this morning, I'm not going to sing my message to you, okay? I'll preach it. Although it might be a little easier for me to do it that way. But we want to get into this. We've been going through our summer series called The Psalms. And all of our pastors have been doing a great job of delivering the Psalms to us. This morning, I get the privilege of finishing off the Psalm series. Next week, Pastor Rob, as he had announced to you and showed to you, we're going to be starting our new series called Pressing On. And I'm looking so forward to that series and kicking off our fall season together. But for today, we're going to get into Psalms 27. We're going to be looking at that. Now, Psalms 27 was written by King David, as were most of the Psalms. But Psalms 27 was definitely written by King David. Now, I love King David, and here's why. I can relate to King David. He was a regular guy like you and me. There were times in his life where he was fully devoted and committed to God, singing and dancing, praising God for all of the wonderful things that he had done. And then the next minute, he's saying, "Please don't let them kill me." You know, King David went through a lot in his life. But through it all, God was with him. Even in the times of trouble and war, and even when David had sinned against God, God was always there for David. God knew that David was a man after the heart of God. David reminds me a lot of myself. Which is why I think I can relate to him and I like him so much. He's a very relatable character in the Bible. Somebody that you can look at and read about in those times in your life when you're asking yourself whether or not God is going to show up. We can read firsthand accounts of David and see for ourselves just how God shows up in David's life. We can relate to his experiences. So let's get into this psalm, Psalms 27. Now, just before we go on, as I studied this passage, theologians weren't sure if this passage or this psalm is a psalm of confidence, written against the dark background of David's many enemies, or a lament in which David cries out for help against his relentless foes. The first half of this passage exudes confidence. And the second half is a moving prayer in which David cries out to his God. So let's get into this passage together. So if you have your Bibles with you, and I hope that you do, turn with me to Psalms 27. Did you see what I did there? I'm just trying to make you feel at home. I'll be reading the whole chapter. Psalms 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Now the heading of this passage says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And in the first verse of this passage, we see the expression of David's confidence. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now let's break down. There's three major points here in this first verse alone. And the first one is that the Lord is my light. Here we see David calling God light. He's using the word light to name God. We know that in the scripture, God has many names. And here, David is referring to him as light. Interesting fact here is that this is the only Old Testament text in which God is actually called light. There are many references in the New Testament in which God is alluded to as light, which we see in John chapter 1, where it says, very, very well known verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then verse 5 goes on to say, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So the light here being referred to is God. And then again in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, where it says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. In John chapter 1, light has to do with God's purity or sinlessness, because it is opposed to the darkness of sinful behavior. But here in Psalms 27, it could suggest illumination, purity, joy, life, and hope. The psalmist is affirming that even in the darkness of the terrible threat of war, that David has no fear. For God is the light that can dispel such fear-filled darkness. When talking about darkness and needing the light to dispel that darkness, when I was a young boy, I was filled with the fear of darkness and kind of the unknown that was within it. You know, I wouldn't walk down a dark street by myself. I wouldn't go into the basement unless all the lights were on. I wouldn't go into a room without first sort of reaching around, flipping that light on, so that I could know exactly what I was going into. And this was a fear of darkness, and darkness can come in many forms. Another time that I could tell you about a place of complete darkness was back in 2012. Dee Dee and I had the privilege of going on a trip to Israel with a group of pastors to go see, you know, all the sites and the places where Jesus walked with his disciples. We even got to go to En Gedi, where David, King David, had hid in the caves from Saul. But another place that we got the privilege of seeing was King Hezekiah's tunnels in Jerusalem. Now this was a place of complete darkness. If you didn't have a light, when you entered into those tunnels, it was absolutely pitch black. Now when you walked in there, we were probably walking in, I always said it was about 2 feet of water. My wife says, you're way over exaggerating that. It was only a few inches, but it was 2 feet, okay? The tunnels in there were extremely tight, very narrow, Sometimes I had to sort of squeeze sideways because I'm such a small guy, I can make it through, but I had to squeeze sideways to get through. Sometimes I had to duck down and walk kind of hunched over in order to get through. I had to be very aware of not hitting my head. But then at times, the crevices were huge. They were like 30, 40 feet in the air. And it was incredible to see. But you want to talk about darkness. If you didn't have a light with you, you couldn't see an inch in front of your face. Believe you me, I tried it. When we went into the tunnels, only certain people had lights. We only had a few lights between the whole group. So you had to keep up with the pack in front of you to sort of stay with the light. And of course, because I'm the big guy, they put me in the back of the pack, I guess to protect everybody, I'm not sure. You know, here I am back there at times. It was a little scary. But what I ended up doing was I remembered that I had my phone in my pocket. You know, the phone has that little light on there, the one you use at concerts. That's what everybody uses them for, right? I used it for Hezekiah's tunnels here. I got that light out and I turned it on. Now, before I had the light, I was very uneasy. I felt lost at times and anxious. But once I had turned that light on, I felt confident and at peace that I was going to be able to find my way even if I had lost the pack. Dee Dee kept saying to me, like, would you stop falling so far behind? I'd be like, Dee Dee, wait up. She's like, stop falling so far behind. But there was just so many things to see. I had to stop and use my light to see these things. But this illustrates so nicely how God, being referred to here in Psalms 27 as light, can come into a dark situation and shine positive light into our lives. The same way that my phone gave me the light that I needed to continue on through those tunnels. Now, you and I can walk through extreme darkness. There are times in our lives where we are in a deep valley, or we're in one of those crevices, and it's extremely dark. And like I said, darkness can come in many forms. Darkness could be the fear of loneliness. Or maybe the fear of failing, being a failure. The fear of loss, losing somebody that's close to you. Or the fear of financial burden. Darkness can come in the form of depression or anxiety or going through marital problems. And then, of course, it can come in the form of sinfulness. Allowing our hearts and our minds to be caught in the snares of sin. But as David has recognized, he says, the Lord is my light. It's God that can come down and shine light into a completely dark situation and give you a glimpse of hope. You know, before I had my phone out and the light turned on, I was always looking to follow whatever light I could see. That light was the hope that I had to continue on, knowing that I was heading in the right direction. God is light. And we need to submit ourselves to the light so that God can come into our lives and restore us and set us on the right path and lead us to salvation. Which is the next point that David makes. He says, first off, the Lord is my light. And then he says, the Lord is my salvation. And the word salvation here means deliverance. This probably has a lot to do with the deliverance of the many enemies that King David had. Or the many times in his life where he allowed sin to rule his life. But God came down and delivered him from that darkness. Salvation is something that is offered to us. Even in the midst of your darkest hour, salvation is at hand. We just need to call out to God and ask for it. God can and will deliver you from your darkest enemies, whatever those may be. He continues on. He says, "The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" The stronghold of my life. Even though David had gone through so many battles, he knows that God is his stronghold. He's his refuge. A refuge from his enemies. He also understands that as long as God is on his side, as long as God is his stronghold, he doesn't have to fear. He asks the question, "Of whom shall I be afraid?" But he knows that God is his stronghold and the refuge of his life. He does not have to fear. Proverbs 18:10 says this, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe." That's an interesting statement. How many times did David run away from the Lord when he allowed sin to overtake his life? But the love that God has for us, the fact that no matter what you have done in life, how badly you have messed up things in your life, you can make it right and become the righteous man that runs into the arms of our Savior. And that's where you will find safety. David understood this. And this is why David is so confident here in these first few verses of Psalms 27. Because David knew that God is light, that God is his strong salvation and the stronghold of his life. So we see three things here in this first verse. First, we see light speaks to the spiritual understanding. Understanding that God is light and that it is he who can bring you out of the darkness. Salvation points to the greatest of all deliverances. Deliverance from sin and shame by the death of his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And then thirdly, stronghold. Stronghold refers to that spiritual refuge, the salvation that we have from the pain and suffering in our lives. John Stott said it this way, "The Lord is my light to guide me, my salvation to deliver me, and the stronghold of my life in whom I take refuge." So from here we move into the second half of this psalm. That moves more to a prayer where David is now crying out to God through his prayer. And this is where we're going to get a glimpse of the soul of David. David is expressing what he feels deep within his soul. So I want to look at three points about the soul. First, the soul's desire. Secondly, the soul's prayer. And thirdly, the soul's prescription. So first off, the soul's desire. We pick it up again in verse 4 where it says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord for all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Now, although David is trying to express his desire to dwell in the house of the Lord, it kind of reminds us of Psalms 23. Which in the end there where it says that David is dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. But the difference here is that in Psalms 23, dwelling in the house of the Lord forever refers to heaven, has to do with heaven. Which here in Psalms 27, it's referring more about the earthly tabernacle. David refers to this in this passage in his place of worship in many different ways. We see it expressed as the house of the Lord, or his temple, his dwelling place, or his tabernacle. David is seeking the Lord in the physical temple. His soul is longing to be in the presence of the Lord, and he's seeking it by going to the temple, or the house of the Lord, which would be to us like our modern day church. Right here, this building that you're sitting in right now. Now, there's something very special about coming and experiencing God in church. I know that we're called to worship in spirit and in truth, which means to worship God everywhere you are, no matter what you are doing in life throughout the whole day. But there's something special when we come together with other believers and we sing the songs of God. When we physically come together with other believers and we worship Him together, it's biblical. God has told us to come together to build each other up. We see it in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, where it says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." Now, mark this here, verse 25. "Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Guys, it's biblical for us to come together like this, in this fashion, to worship God together. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." This is the desire of David. His soul's desire is to be in the house of the Lord, to be with God's people. He wants to be together with them. Where is your desire? Do you desire to be in the house of the Lord, worshiping together? Or are your desires elsewhere? My prayer would be that you would desire to seek God first, seek His face by coming together, singing together with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And it's really interesting as the verse goes on there, it says to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. What does that mean? You know, we all enjoy seeing something beautiful. And we live in probably one of the most beautiful places in the world. You just got to look out your window or as you're driving down the road and look at Mount Baker or any of the mountains around us or the lakes that we have. We live in one of the most beautiful parts of the world. We see God's beauty all around us. But David's desire here to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, he's gazing upon all that God had done for him. How He'd protected him. How He was his refuge. And he came to dwell in the house of the Lord together. To gaze upon His beauty. To sing praises to our God for all that He had done. Or are we here to critique? Did the service hit all the right points for us? Did the song leader sing all the right songs? I think we do, personally. We should come to dwell in the house of the Lord, to meet with our God and gaze on His beauty. So that was David's soul desire. So now the soul's prayer. Verse 7, we see a shift in the language structure and tone. The mood kind of changes from this confidence that he had in this prayer, then to sort of a crying out to God. Now he's pleading with God. He's down on his hands and knees. He says in verse 7 to 9, it says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, 'Seek my face.' My heart says to you, 'Your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation.'" David is pleading with God to hear his cry or the prayer. I can hear the anxiousness within his voice. He's looking for acceptance. To not be forsaken by his heavenly Father. You know, every one of us wants to be shown acceptance in some type of way, shape, or form. No matter how old you are or what you are doing in life, we seek acceptance. In life, we are always looking for somebody to accept us, for those that are around us, yet we experience much rejection. Sometimes that can come from parents, spouses, siblings, co-workers, employers. David even speaks about how his father and his mother have forsaken him. It says there in verse 10, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." You know, we look to our fathers and our mothers all the time for acceptance and security. We look to our parents to listen to us from a young, very young age, to listen to us, to guide us and protect us, even though at times we say, "I don't know if you're correct, right, Mom and Dad? We know better." We are looking for that guidance and protection. And that's exactly what David is seeking from God in this verse. As sinners, we all fail, but God will never forsake us. Sometimes in life, is that my beard? I'm sorry. I even trimmed it, so. Sometimes in life, because we are not perfect, we make mistakes. And we can cause pain in the lives of those that are closest to us. Isn't it interesting how often we will cause pain to the people that we love the most? I want to tell you a little story, kind of a testimony of my own life. I'm not sure how many of you may know or may not know that I was adopted as a child. Without going into great detail, because the story is very long and complicated and all the rest of it, I was given up for adoption from birth. When I was born, I was very quickly wheeled out of a delivery room, down the hall, and into another room. My birth mom never got the chance to hold me or to have a time to bond with me as a newborn child. I was placed into foster care, and within 6 weeks of me being in a foster home, I was adopted into a new family. As I grew up, my parents would tell me, "You know, you're a special boy." And they would try to confirm to me that I was loved. And that there was a reason why my parents gave me up. And as I got older, though, I had to deal with the sense of abandonment. Asking the question, why? Why did they have to give me up? Why wouldn't they want to have kept me? It was like being forsaken, as David had written about right here in Psalms 27. Much later in life, I've had the awesome privilege of getting to know my birth parents. And I've been able to ask those questions. And I can tell you that it wasn't their first choice. It was very much a forced situation. But as I grew up, I was very needy. I always kind of hid behind my mom. I would hang on her for security and acceptance. And I was very scared to do things on my own. I believe that's where this fear of darkness and kind of this fear of doing things came from. I hated walking to and from school. I was afraid to do a lot of things. And as I got older and life in our home wasn't necessarily the best environment. The family that I was adopted into had three older kids already. So I was the youngest of four. And my older siblings, as they started to make decisions in life, they made very poor decisions. There was drug and alcohol abuse. One of my sisters was pregnant by 13. Had a child at 14. It created a lot of stress within our home. My oldest sister at 16 ran away from home. When they found her, she said, "I ain't coming back. I'm going to get married to the man that she had run away with." That marriage ended in divorce. Home life wasn't very good through my teen years. And I don't blame my mom and dad. But I spent most of my time away from the house seeking acceptance from anyone who would give it to me. Again, I had this feeling and I had to deal with this sense of abandonment, like I was kind of on my own. So abandonment or acceptance is something that I've had to deal with my whole life. In very recent years, I've really had to start dealing with some of the issues that it's caused within relationships within my life, even through my marriage. I've always wondered why I would react in certain situations and why I did things the way that I did, and I'm starting to realize maybe why. A few years back, I had a conversation with my adopted mom. And she said to me, you know, within the first year, if your parents had to come looking for you, I probably would have gave you back. It took her 4 years to realize that I wasn't going to go anywhere, that I was going to be her child for the rest of my life. But in those critical years, I missed out on the bond that should have been formed at that time by a mother and a father. And as a teen and as a young man, I've had to battle these demons of feeling forsaken. Now I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that my adopted parents love me. They went through hell on earth raising these children. They were Christian parents. They were believers. And they did their best to raise them in the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And they gave that knowledge to me. And because they taught me the ways of the Lord in and throughout my life, there was one constant, one influence in my life that never changed, that one somebody that never forsake me, and that was God. More times in my life than I can remember, I found myself walking around out on the streets, or I would get on my bike and I would just ride, and I would call out to God to be my peace and my comfort because I couldn't find peace and comfort at home. Trusting that God was in control even when I didn't understand why. David understood this. And in his life, when he has messed up, David cries out to God because David knew that God would never refuse him. He hasn't in the past and he's not going to start now. You know, maybe you have had in the past or are right now going through times of feeling abandoned. And that abandonment can come, like I said, in many different forms. Do as David did. Cry out to God, the God of your salvation, because he will never forsake you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, another thing that we seek is we seek to be heard. All of us want to be heard, but sometimes the people that we're trying to talk to just don't have the time of day for us. And really, they don't listen. Is God ever too busy to listen to us when we speak to him? Not on your life. God is looking for us to speak to him. We need to be in prayer more often. We need to get down on our hands and knees and talk to God about the things that are going on in our lives. But why don't we do it? Why don't we do it more often? Probably because we're too busy to speak to him. Do you ever have that conversation? Hey, how's it going? Oh, really good. Super busy. I'm the same way. Oh, man, it's been a busy week. Or are we just creating the busyness within our lives and pushing God out of our lives? God says, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Matthew 7. Church, are we spending time with God? Are we pleading with God to be a part of our lives daily? Are we pleading with God to speak into the trials and the darkest places within our lives? Are we seeking His face, the God of our salvation, the one who knows all things? Are we rejoicing and bringing praise to Him, gazing upon the beauty of the Lord? We need to plead with God for guidance. That's another thing that we seek. I said earlier that we seek guidance. You know, if any of you have ever been given a task at work, don't we all ask for some kind of direction or guidance to direct us? You know, if you're not quite sure, you're looking for that guidance, right? Of course we do. We seek guidance within our daily lives. None of us know all and can keep ourselves from sin and walking in the ways of righteousness. We have to be taught to avoid danger. In God, we have one that we can turn to for guidance. This is why David prays this right here. He says, "Teach me your ways, Lord. Lead me in a straight path." He prays this confidently because he knows that God will do it. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, very well known. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path." Church, do we trust the Lord? Do you trust that God can and will work in your broken relationships? Do you trust that God can and will bring you through the difficult health issue that you may be experiencing? Or a financial crisis that has come upon your life? Or maybe it's a son or a daughter that has chosen to walk away from the Lord. Do you believe that God can bring them back? Lean on God. Trust that His ways are better. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge the fact that God is greater. And allow Him to guide you and make straight the path that you are walking on. Allow God to hold you in His protection. That's another thing we seek, is protection. We all seek protection from the time that you are a small child. It really doesn't change even as you get older. You're still looking for protection. We all seek protection. And David asks this question, "Whom shall I fear? Or whom shall I be afraid?" You see, David understands and knows that as long as he is walking in relationship with God, he doesn't have to fear or be afraid. You know, we all have experienced that neighborhood bully, right? David needs the protecting presence of God, just as a small child needs his protection from that neighborhood bully. In Christ alone, you don't have to fear anymore. In Christ alone, we can find complete protection. Protection from the trials we face in life, to knowing where we will end up when life comes to an end. And we never really know when that end could come. So make sure that you are walking in right relationship with Him. Remember this, the righteous man runs into the arms of God and is safe. So we've talked about the soul's desire and the soul's prayer. The last thing that I want to talk about is the soul's prescription. What is the prescription of our souls? Does David have the acceptance, answers, guidance, and protection that he needs from God? Absolutely he does. Because the psalmist moves back to the tone now of quiet confidence. He is confident in God. Verse 13 and 14, it says this, "I am confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage, wait for the Lord. Let me ask you this question. What fears are you allowing to control your life? Are you allowing circumstances in your life to take your focus off of God? Are you building into your relationship with God so that you can confidently say, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? I will wait for the Lord and be strong. When we pray to God, we need to wait on the Lord. God will answer in His time. This is the prescription: to wait on the Lord, be strong, trust that God is in control of the big and the little things in your life. Wait on the Lord. You know, the things that we pray for, they don't always come to us at once. God has His timing, which isn't always our timing. We always want everything now. Give it to me now. We live in a give it to me now society and culture. I mean, if the iPad isn't working quite right, like, sell it and get a new one because I need this now. But sometimes for our own good, God allows things to be delayed and it can feel like we have been abandoned. But we simply need to wait on the Lord and trust in faith that God's will is being done for your life. And for mine. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. You know, if you knew that someone was going to give you a very large and wealthy gift, but they told you, you're going to have to wait for it, and you knew it was coming 100%, I'm pretty positive that we would all say, okay, I'll wait for it. Well, Jesus Christ is just such a gift. God is so gracious and such a powerful King. He is well worth waiting for. It is a privilege to wait for Him, yet how little we truly wait on the Lord. So this morning, my encouragement for you is seek God. Let Him be your light and salvation. Be patient. Take heart. Worship Him not only in private, but within the congregation as we come together on a Sunday morning. Come to the house of the Lord and gaze on His beauty of all the things that He has done for you and brought you through. And as we sing songs that reflect on the goodness of our God, be strong and wait for the Lord.